We are very Corey Taylor heavy this hour, and for a very particular reason, we are excited for Wednesday. It's our big X birthday bash number 2, Slipknot playing at Taco Bell Arena. They're going to be your headliner that night. And of course, Corey Taylor's the lead singer for that band and the band you just heard, Stone Sour. And it's an honor and privilege to welcome back to the show one of our most favorite people in the entire world. Corey Taylor joins us right now. Corey Taylor, how are you, man?
What's up, dude? How you doing?
Awesome, awesome. Good to hear from you. Thank you very much for making some time. We are excited for you guys to come into town next week. What was the downtime like for you? Did you enjoy it?
It was about 5 minutes. Because we literally had like a week between South America and the start of this tour. So it's, But the cool thing is that, you know, I mean, we'll do this, which is about 2 weeks, you know, about 2 week run. And then we've got like a lot of time off for the rest of the year. So we'll be able to do holidays with the family and everything. And I desperately need that, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, Big J here, Corey, there's not a lot of downtime for Corey Taylor.
No, not really. Downtime is usually the 4 hours of sleep I try to pencil in for myself every night. And even that's a chore, you know, so, but it's, you know, I mean, it's, don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining at all. You know, it could be totally different. It could totally suck. I could be, you know, the dude that, you know, doesn't do anything and then nobody wants anything to do with him, you know? So, I mean, it's a good problem to have and I'll take it.
You know, last week you were able to let go of a secret that you were able to voice a character on Doctor Who. That episode aired this weekend. From a viewer standpoint, how was it to watch it on the TV?
It was surreal, you know, because, I mean, I recorded that stuff, January or February. So I've been sitting on that forever. Like, I maybe told two of my friends and then, you know, some of my family knew about it. But I was like, I so did not want to step on the toes of the geek gods, you know, so I didn't want to, you know, kind of, you know, poke the bear on that. So I didn't say anything, but I was dying inside to say something. And then finally, you know, they said something about the BBC, you know, said something about it. I was like, oh, I can talk about it now. I can totally talk about it now. I was freaking out. And then sitting in my living room watching it because I hadn't seen anything. You know, like I hadn't seen any footage or anything. So sitting in the living room watching it and listening to what they did with everything that we had put together, dude, I was giggling like an idiot. Like, it was so rad. And then at the end, seeing my name in the Doctor Who credits, I was like, that's me! That's me! That's me! That's the third person right there, that's me, dude.
That, I mean, it's awesome because, you know, that with the whole acting thing, I mean, you're becoming a huge superstar in the world of film and TV now.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm
blowing up.
It's got to start somewhere. Might as well start there, right?
Even John Travolta did some Band-Aid commercials before he became the John Travolta. So, you know, here's the hoping, you know. And the thing is that I don't do anything for the cash of it, you know, like I do it because I want to do it and I love doing it. I enjoy doing it. So for me, even if it's, you know, just bit parts here and there, I just love doing it. You know, I'm not trying to carry a film based off of a Shakespearean play or anything like that. But, you know, if you need a dude to, you know, if you need the pizza guy to get bit by the zombie and then start, you know, chewing people's heads up, I'm in. Totally in. You know, like, sign me up. I'll put the visor on, you know, like, I'll wear the shirt. I'll drive the Honda Civic. You know, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
I'm busy trying to work to make up a wristband that says WWCTS. What would Corey Taylor say? Because everywhere you turn around, there's you saying something outlandish and awesome. Don't get me wrong, awesome, but, you know, I mean, all joking aside, I'm wondering, is it, if, you know, is it getting tiresome sometimes that wherever you turn, there's, you know, you, whether it's being taken out of context or whether saying exactly what you said, every time you say something, everybody's listening. Does that get tiresome after a while?
You know, I mean, it's a double-edged sword, you know? I mean, and obviously, I've been in the game long enough that I know the repercussion. Like you said, being taken out of context. I mean, that's one of that's the problem with clickbait, as they say on the internet. You know, like, I do one interview and all of a sudden it turns into 25 different pieces on different websites, and it's all chopped up, and nobody can put it into context. You know, like it's ridiculous. You know, it's but at the same time, that's not a strong enough reason for me to not speak my mind, because so many people either say the worst things ever or just don't say anything at all. You know, and it's like, I can't, there's certain things that I just can't let go, you know, like I just can't let, I've got to call certain things to the carpet, and you don't have to agree with me. You know, that's the thing. Like, I don't expect everyone to understand or even agree with what I'm trying to say. But at the same time, so what? I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about being an American citizen, is you have the right to say that, whether you're going to get ripped apart on Twitter, Instagram, various message boards. That doesn't matter. You have to stand up and be a different voice, you know? I mean, we have the right to dissent, so I'm using that right to my advantage, you know? So, I mean, it is what it is, you know? Does it get tiresome? Not really. But at the same time, it's, you know, you just got to kind of take the good with the bad.
Talking to Corey Taylor, of course, Slipknot coming to town on Wednesday at Taco Bell Arena, along with Suicidal Tendencies and Beartooth. XRock.com has more information. Corey, I was reading an interview with an author, somebody that's penned like 20 books, and he was talking about how difficult it is to unplug. Like, even when he's hanging out with his family, he thinks, man, that would be good for my next book. You're three in. You're working on number four, I imagine. Is it difficult for you to actually unplug and not concentrate on something, or are you always constantly coming up with ideas?
It's super hard. Like, it's, you're constantly, well, it's not even just that, you know? I mean, if it's not books, it's music. If it's not music, it's like a story, like a possible script idea. Like, it's so hard sometimes to just switch off, because my brain is always going. Again, it's a good problem to have, because you want that creativity. You want ideas to come in. But sometimes, you know, I you know, and my family is pretty good at letting me know when I'm too far checked out. They're like, hey, come back, you know, get out of the universe and just stay on the couch for right now, you know, could you just hang out with us? So it's, you know, it's good to have that kind of system in check, where, you know, my family will let me know, hey, douche, figure it out, you know, we're trying to eat and you're just staring off into space like a crazy person. But yeah, man, it's really hard, you know, it's especially once you get the bug, you know, if it's something that you really enjoy. Like, I love the creative process. I love the fact that I actually get to do the books and everything. So I'm constantly looking for the next thing to kind of quicken the pulse. But it's, you know, you have to balance that. You have to balance the fact that, you know, you've got all these outlets that you can take advantage of, but you also have a family, you have a marriage, you have kids. I mean, you don't want your kids to grow up feeling like, you know, Dad was just this weird zombie who walked around and said funny stuff like every, you know, 3 or 4 hours, but didn't really do anything with us, you know? So it's hard for me, man, you know, because I love spending time with my kids, but at the same time, I'm the guy who will get stuck in his own head, and at the same time, stuck up his own, you know what. So it's I'm learning to deal with it, but, you know, it is hard, because it is... It's a very attractive line of thought to go down, because you start thinking of this and that, and then you start framing up chapters, and it's like, oh, I could do this for a book, and then you start obsessing about it. Maybe I just need medication. Let's put it that way. Maybe I just need to be medicated by someone who knows what they're doing.
We do the mornings here, and my alarm goes off at 4:15, and my alarm is set to your version of Creeping Death from the Meanwhile in Burbank covers.
Oh, nice.
That gives me a good start to the day. How much fun has been that whole Burbank project for you personally?
Oh, it's been awesome, dude, because honestly, there's no pressure. You know, we've just kind of been doing it as we go, you know, and honestly doing it on our own dime. You know, we've basically financed this whole thing because we wanted to do it, because we love to do it. You know, we didn't really take any cash from the label. We just did it. It was a labor of love, you know, and the response has been fantastic. Straight Out of Burbank should be coming out probably in the next month or so. I'm not sure if they released the date, on when they're going to drop that or not. But I know it's either later this month or November. And those songs, man, those songs came out so killer. Like, it's got everything from Bad Brains to the Rolling Stones on it. So we're really, really ecstatic about how that came up. So much so that we're thinking about actually kind of holding off on the third one. You know, continuing to record the five that we've already got done for the third one, but using those as like special tracks and you know, maybe just instead of doing like a third EP, just using those as like special little things that we can give away to the kids and stuff. Because the second one turned out so well, that it'd be hard to follow that one up.
We talked a little bit about a short run with Slipknot. That kind of accumulates with Aftershock and then another run at Knotfest this year. This one, logistically, how is it for you? I mean, is there a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff you have to worry about that, or is that thankfully somebody else's problem?
You know, we do a lot of work with the people who help us make it work. You know, like, you know, me and Clown are very hands-on when it comes to not only the way the festival should look, but the bands that we, you know, get to bring in and just all the different crazy things that we try to make, you know, Knotfest stand out with. But other than that, I know my limitations, you know, like I'm not a financier. I'm not a promoter. I'm not even a stagehand, man. You know, like I can't, like if you handed me a 412 and said, here, plug that in. No, I can't do that. I'm not that guy. I hire people smarter than me to make sure that gets done correctly. But you know, we do try to, you know, we hold up our side of things in the areas that we do excel at, you know? So for us, you know, Knotfest has always been a labor of love, and it's been something that we've been talking about, you know, God, over 10 years. So, you know, getting the opportunity to do it, instead of trying to handle everything ourselves, we make sure that we have the best people in place to handle the things that we don't know how to do, you know. But we also, you know, are, you know, in constant talks with those people, making sure that everything's good, making sure that everything's, you know, going exactly the way we need it to go or the way we see it. So, yeah, I mean, even though we're not, you know, chasing down the cash and doing all that stuff, we're still involved in the stuff that we don't do and very involved in the stuff that we are very passionate about.
Well, I tell you what, Corey, we are celebrating 20 years as a radio station, and we are proud as hell that Slipknot is a part of that 20th anniversary at Taco Bell Arena. Travel safe, sir. We'll see you on Wednesday, and you have yourself a good one, all right?
Sounds good, man. Can't wait. We'll see you guys soon.